I want to talk to you about Christian evidences, but before I can do that, I need to talk to you about my favorite movie. It's Kirk Douglas in The Vikings. Now, let me... It's not because it's a particularly good movie, because it isn't. It's poorly acted, poorly written, but it's still my favorite for a couple of reasons. One, you see the longships, the Viking longships coming up the fjord, and the slaves are there rowing. Well, they never used slaves to row, but that's all right. I'll let that go. Because one of the slaves, if you look closely enough, is wearing a watch. And that just kind of makes the movie for me already. And then there's another scene, there's a fight scene, where as they're flinging the swords and axes about, you see a jet contrail in the sky. And another scene where you see telephone lines in the distance. It's rather like the second Die Hard movie, where he's supposed to be in Washington, D.C. airport, and he runs to a payphone, and it says Pacific Bell. I love that stuff. My wife won't watch movies with me, because I'll say, no, wait, back that up. She goes, no, we're not. That's called an anachronism, something which is out of time. It's not where it's supposed to be in timeline. Think of Macbeth, for example. In the very opening scene, yes, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, all that. But you have a man coming reporting of a battle because he can hear the cannon. And that's a man you want on your side because he's hearing cannon fire almost 300 years before gunpowder made it to Britain. And I would say that's a highly useful skill. But that's an anachronism. You get those from time to time. What if you were you decided to take a vacation to Egypt because you've not been paying attention to the news, and so you go, and you got a particularly boring tour guide, so you're just kind of not paying attention, and you're just kicking around in the sand and the dirt. When you hit a pointy rock, and you start digging, and it's actually the top of a pyramid you found here. I'm cutting to the chase, and so everybody else is digging away and finding that it's a new pyramid. It's not new, but nobody's found it before. So it's an old pyramid, but it hasn't been robbed, which is incredibly rare. Most have been robbed several times. And so this has not been robbed, and oh, it's all very exciting. And they open up the door, and since you found it, they're going to let you go in first. And since you've never seen the mummy movies, you go. And you turn on... There's a point to this. There's a point to all of this. Now, you turn on your torch, your flashlight, and you're looking about, and there's a sarcophagus, and there are the jars, and there are the hieroglyphics, and there's a Buick, and then over here... Now, you've got a problem. Because either somebody's been in there before, or the Egyptians built Buicks. Whenever I decided to read through the Bible and try to confront the God that I was terribly afraid was there, I came upon the book, which has caused many Christians to break their word to God. Because they said, I'm going to read through the Bible. And they start with Genesis. And that's a good place to start because it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's exciting from beginning to end. And then Exodus, frogs out of the sky. Who couldn't like Exodus? Then you hit Leviticus. After about the 23rd meal offering and another description of a priestly garment, your care meter goes to zero. And you start skipping a bit. Now, maybe you don't. Maybe you're even a bit offended at this. Okay, then I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about humans. Humans struggle with this. Now, however, it was Leviticus that was my Buick in the pyramid. I came across some stuff in Leviticus, which I was not the first person to come across it by any stretch. Other people have come upon it before me since. You know, I'm not that unique, but it was unique enough to me. And since most people don't read in this field, I thought maybe we should start with this. We're going to go take a look at Leviticus, and we're going to go to right in the middle of the poetry, the sheer poetry of let's say chapter 11. This could be on a Hallmark card. Chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew the cud, or only have a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, though it not..." And now we go into illustrations. When I keep looking, thinking, I got it in verse 1 through 3. Evidently, people were looking for loopholes. So he says, the camel, though it chews the cud, do you pronounce it cud? 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 Anyway, all right, thanks. It's ceremonially unclean for you. The hydrax, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It's unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not... Whew. Like I said, a Hallmark card this is, isn't it? This is what you get, this tattooed on your back. I see these people with Jeremiah 29:11 on their, tattooed in there. I'm going, unless you're a Jew in Babylonian captivity, that verse doesn't apply to you. And, they don't appreciate that. That's why I'm not allowed back in some Walmarts before, and again. I like to go to Walmart and show off my teeth and reading skills. The point... When you start reading through Leviticus 11, it's going to go through a bunch of things that you can eat and things you cannot eat. And it's going to do it in a... And I don't want you to get too excited here, because some people will say, it's pure science. It kind of is, but it's more brilliant than pure science. And this is where I get people... Some people get upset. The rabbit, it says, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided... Rabbits don't chew the cud. They just look like they are. You see, the Bible was not written as a scientific textbook. It was written for them to use. So he wasn't saying, if you find something, dissect it and look for segmented stomachs. Then check the hooves, then you can eat it. No, he was letting them see, don't kill the rabbit. It's not for you. Even though it's chewing like this, the paws are wrong. What I'm trying to say is it was made usable by a non-scientific, pre-modern people in the desert. And to me, that's brilliant. Because anybody can write a science book. But write a science book that people can use that don't know science. And that's brilliant. Now, let's go over this. What animals are verboten for the Jews? Well, everybody knows the first one. Everybody knows one animal that the Jews and Muslims cannot eat. What's that?
Pig.
Exactly. In fact, when the Gulf War first broke out, I had an idea how we could win without loss of American life. Really? It's brilliant. Bomb them with pigs. No, really. Now, they have to be live pigs, so they still make the bomb noise as they're falling. That sort of thing, right? Now, when they hit, there's going to be pig splatter, and they got to leave. We go in. We win. We can have bacon. I don't care what happens after that, frankly. But we could go in, they never did answer back, but there were some black SUVs that cruised my house a few times. But anyway, the point being... Everybody knows this. Why? Well, most of us know that pigs raised in an unclean area or a pre-modern area would have trichinosis. It's a little parasite. You eat it, gets inside you. That's a really bad thing. So, he says, don't have it. Now, also very interesting here, he doesn't tell them this. He just says, you can't have it. He didn't tell them, well, it has wee bugs in it. And if you eat the meat, the wee bugs get in you and makes you very sick and you die. Doesn't say it. He just says, no, don't eat the pig. Which also teaches me that God doesn't have to explain himself to me. When he tells me something, I've got to assume it's for my good. Even though it may not feel good. Let's go to bunny next, all right? The bunny, the rabbit. What's wrong with the rabbit? It doesn't have any parasites in its meat. In fact, the meat's low fat, high protein, pretty good for you. But there is a problem. You're a pre-modern people on the move through a desert. You don't have shoes. When bunnies pee, which probably is the first time that phrase has been used in this church building. Anyway, when bunnies pee, they release a parasite, a bug. If your feet are cracked, as they would be, sometimes bleeding, as they would be, that gets into your system and you get a blood disease called tularemia. And that's really bad for you. So once again, there are actually five classifications of food that are removed from your diet by this rule. Food that carries parasites normally, it's a normal thing. To those that release it in their waste, I don't know if you know this, most urine, for example, is sterile. But this isn't. This is dangerous. So it's off. You've got to keep it away. By the way, still wash your hands. Third, let's talk about shrimp and catfish. Some of you have bacon-wrapped shrimp, which is kind of an in-your-face to the old law, but fair enough. I've always thought that was weird that Christians on Easter traditionally eat ham. It's kind of like, yeah, take that, Jews. You know, which I've always felt was a bit rude, but anyway. If ever you got inside my brain, you'd pay money to get out. Shrimp are off the table, according to this. If it's in the water, it has to have scales. There are several things it has to have. Shrimp, catfish, no. Why? These are animals that remove toxins from the environment. Shrimp are the cockroaches of the sea. Now, it's fine if you like them. It's cool. In fact, some of you might say, well, I can't eat them because I'm allergic to them. Oh, here's an interesting tidbit that is completely unhelpful. I know a lot of those. You're not actually allergic to shrimp. Now, while you're laying on the floor all swelling up and going into cardiac arrest, or actually just not able to breathe, I'm not going to yell at you. It's not actually the shrimp. I'll go get an EpiPen. I'm a nice guy. You're allergic to what shrimp eat. It's kind of like you're not allergic to cats. Cats have no allergens, but the mites that live on them cause allergies. So technically, it's their tenants that they're renting out space to. And some of you will say, no, cats are clean because they lick themselves. People, that's not adequate. I've seen homeless people lick themselves. And yes, that's right. That's not adequate either. We had 10 years in Detroit. We worked with them. And so, yeah, we saw it. And a couple thought they were cats, which was always fun. But the point is, you can't have it because they didn't have EpiPens. You had to stay alive. This is where some of this is headed. There are two things I want. First of all, how did a shepherd? Come on, what was Moses at this stage? He'd been head of sheep Sinai division for 40 years. That's not qualified for dietary advice. And yet, he nails it. Here's the other one. Other mystery. Why are there Jews? Now, by the way, if you're a Jew, yay, you. I love people's history. And I love the fact that we come from different places. The point is, however, historically speaking, you shouldn't exist. Because where are the Jebusites? Where are the Philistines? Where are all the other tribes? They're gone. Jews lived. In Leviticus and Deuteronomy, where they're told, if you follow God's law, you won't have the diseases that the other people have. You'll stay alive. And they did. Because they did things in a different way. We're going to talk about some other things here as well. So again, let's just review. We're heading up on some. Food that traditional, or that if it way too easily has parasites, or that's in the waste, or that puts it into their system by eating it. And I know catfish, some of you are going, oh, not catfish. again, most catfish today is farmed in rather sterile conditions, but catfish's job is to eat what nothing else will. They're the buzzards of the sea. You know, very few of you are driving by and see a turkey buzzard off the side and go, hmm. Right, laddie, open the door, run out there and check the thighs on that one, because that one looks good. Probably not. And we're going quick here, because I've only got three Wednesdays this. And when do I stop, by the way? I forgot to ask.
Oh, when you're good. About 8:15.
6:40. Okay, good, good. Because then we have time to do some other fun stuff here. The fourth. Food that spoils without giving you a real good indication it's spoiled. I don't know what it is about people. I really don't. But they'll open the refrigerator and they'll find the mystery Tupperware. They're not sure what it is. They'll crack it open and they'll go, oh, that's horrible. Here, smell that.
Why?
Yeah, no thanks. Hate to ruin your entire day, but all odors are particulates, which means if you smell it, you're ingesting it. So when you walk into the next roadside rest that you're, you know, and you go, whoo, back away, because you're actually bringing it into your body. Well, there are some things that people will take a drink of, and they'll go, is this milk good? What do you think? I think milk is relatively cheap. That's what I think. I think stomach pumps are not. The petrol to get to the emergency room costs more than... I'm not going to drink it, thanks. But the fact is, with milk, sometimes you can't tell. And they had to keep the milk separate from the meat. And if you're a Jewish family today keeping kosher, you know you have to have two kitchens in one room. And some products over here, and some products over here, and they're not allowed to touch. They're not allowed to be in the same area. And that if you go eat with somebody, I've got an Orthodox friend who's probably one of the most brilliant men I know, actually, who has never shaken my hand because I'm unclean. And when I go to his house, I have to eat from those dishes. Those are reserved for the unclean folk. I'm not insulted. I understand. That's his tradition, it's his religion, and he's very devout in it. Fine. I always like to make him jump because I'll say the word God, and they're not allowed to. So many funny stories I could tell there, but I won't right now. Point being, there are some foods that spoil that don't give you really good clearance that they do. Think of mayonnaise. How many people go to the hospital every year for mayonnaise? Because it spoils at church socials. Sitting out there in the heat of a Tennessee summer, preacher goes a bit long. Plus, you don't know how long that was on the counter at home. And I don't know why everything at a church social has to be mayonnaise or orange based. Even Jell-O, they'll put carrots in it for some reason. Why? I'm pretty sure in some versions of Leviticus, that's a sin. Haven't found it, but I'm still looking. And celery, people, that's for cows. But anyway, it is. Just work with me. The point I'm trying to make is that you're saved. Now, this one is weird. This was completely different. This has no health consequences. You weren't allowed to eat like the camel. Let's back up a minute and talk about a camel. You may not look at a camel and think, but camels have a lot of meat on them. Why would you not? You know, I've never gone hunting because it's not part of my culture. You know, and Britain, only the rich English guys get to hunt. You know, being Scots, our job was to hold the deer, you know. Come on, Nigel, shoot, you know. Oh, he got Hamish, you know, sorry. Yeah, that. So but my son hunts, and he's now out of the Marine Corps. But he lives in Detroit. But Michigan has a group of folk, a large section that I call Northwoods Rednecks, because they don't know that they're urban Detroiters. They drive around in trucks and listen to country music, and have camo clothes and they go up north and kill things. You know, tourists, whatever, is there. And so he'll go hunting. And I'll go in and they'll rub this stuff on him. Well, what's that? Well, that's deer urine. Really? You know, if I want meat, there's a store. They almost never require me to rub urine on me. And they'll say, no, this urine is of a male, and it attracts the females. And I'm thinking, well, what if you have lesbian deer? Then you've done all that for nothing. You're there on your own. But I don't hunt. But why would you not eat a camel if you'll eat a deer or a cow? I've always thought whoever drank milk first was so brave. Really. You know, I don't know what that is over there, but let's squeeze it and drink whatever comes out. Second bravest person in the world. First bravest person was the first person to eat an oyster. Really? Okay. The point with the camel, though, has nothing to do with health. The meat's fine. The waste products are normal waste products. Then what's wrong with it? It's the same reason you can't eat a horse. You might think, well, who would eat a horse? Well, the French do. The French eat horses and snails. Snails also prohibited by Leviticus. They eat both ends of the speed continuum. Now, I know why they eat snails. You know, I've been to France, and I know that, because that's the only food they're really brave enough to hunt. But oh no, Henri, we have wounded him. We must flee. You know that? Anyway, they will catch up with us eventually. My wife tells me I've got to quit making fun of French people. And I said, what would the consequences be? But they also eat horse. Now, why can't you? Well, this is really sociology and justice. Do you have to pour grain and water into cattle and horses for a long time to get meat for a few? So you are taking, in fact, for a horse, it's 7 years, minimum amount of time, before you can economically harvest a horse. For camel, it's even longer, but I forget the number on that. So water, which should go to the greater community, and grain, which should go to the greater community, is going to a certain subset of animals so that a certain subset of rich people can eat it. God said, no. Everybody gets to eat. It's not like, I mean, you've all seen whenever the president, and this is not a political thing, I don't care who the president is, whenever the president throws a dinner, they're eating food you can't afford. And on plates you can't buy. I keep looking at you going, and you got rid of a king and a queen for what reason? Right now you're kind of regretting it, aren't you? Huh? You're looking at the upcoming presidential election, you're thinking, I wonder if they'll take us back. Yeah. Maybe, if you ask nice. Anyway, God once again was doing, this is a social justice thing of saying, no, the rich people don't get to eat the special food. We all eat the same food. He didn't rain special manna on some people's houses. We all eat the same food. Now, that's amazing, but that's not the most amazing thing in the chapter. Really. I know you keep... Why do you take this long to get to the point? Well, I think that is a point. But take a look at this in verse 24, same chapter. This one made me actually stand up when I first read it. You will make yourself unclean by these. Whoever touches their carcass will be unclean till evening. Whoever picks up one of their carcasses must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Leviticus, when was it written? 1,000, 1,100 BC, somewhere in that region. We didn't understand that you got contaminated by touching stuff until the 1700s. So this is nearly 3,000 years too early. It's a Buick and a pyramid. How did they know that touching something made them unclean? That's one. Two, that the only thing that they could do was to wash themselves and their clothes. Well, my clothes didn't touch it. Yeah, it did. You just didn't know. If a wee boy comes in with a dead bird, you ever had one of those? Look, I found a bird. You're over there, drop it, and you make them change clothes. Why? Because it's on them as well. It scatters, it puffs. And so that's got to be washed. And how do you know about distance and time? By the way, the way that we deal with viruses today is distance, fluid, and time. I can remember years ago, they don't say it so much anymore. People would say, you know, we could cure AIDS if we wanted to. No, we can't. It's viral. We can vaccinate against some viral diseases, and you ought to. But we don't have a cure for viral diseases. We have some antivirals that'll help you get through it. We have Tamiflu. You can spend $120 to get over the flu 8 to 10 hours sooner. Or consider flu your weight loss and let it go, that extra bit. We can't cure viral diseases. What we do is we separate. We say, when you get a cold, what do? You may run for antibiotics, but you're not helping anybody doing that. You're kind of hurting the whole herd when you do that. You need to separate. You need to separate. Let me stress this. It's amazing to me. Schools will dock off points because you didn't come to class. Well, they had a cold. Keep them out of the herd. You'll see somebody at Subway going, I'm going, and I'm backing away now. I'm going somewhere else where I don't see it, but it's probably still happening. Stay away. I've had people hug me and tell me on Sunday, I feel really terrible. I've been sick all week. And I'm going, and I said, would you pray for me? And I'm thinking, no, but I'll pray about you. I don't think it's going to be to your benefit, but I'm going to be praying about this. Touching. And it's not just touching. And by the way, let me explain something that about the to evening thing. Like I said, I've got a friend who's Orthodox. I have a lot of friends over the years that have been rabbis. And so I talk a lot to them because I'll go up and say, right, hey, look at this. And if you wonder how I run across rabbis, please remember Jews are overrepresented in the medical field, especially in neuroscience. And so, yeah, met them all the time and made friends with them. And one of them saved my life in surgery back in 1991. And that's it. Yay him. I'm a big fan. Anyway, the rabbis tell me that let's say you there's a dead anything. Doesn't really matter. But let's just say it's a dead dog. And you have to remove it for the good of the community. So you remove it, you bury it, but now you are unclean until evening. Now you picked it up at 1 in the afternoon. Doesn't mean you get to come home tonight at 8. It's tomorrow night. The phrase until evening means the next one, not this one. So it's a 24-hour plus thing. Now why is that important? Because viruses, if they're going to be there, will manifest themselves pretty quick. If you've been slowly getting a cold, it might not be a cold. It might be a sinus infection, bacteria, right? But if you were well yesterday, but you got a sore throat today, that's viral. They go fast. This is a rule of thumb. There are exceptions. But this is a pretty good rule of thumb. But it goes further. It's amazing. You got to wash your clothes. You'll be clean to the. All right, that's good. Now, 32. When one of them dies and falls on something, that article, whatever its use, will be unclean. Whether it's made of wood, cloth, hide, or sackcloth, put it in water It'll be unclean till evening, and then it will be clean. Now let's back up a little bit and have a look at this, because once again, there's a lot of wisdom here. You've got a mouse running through the kitchen, and it jumps off and touches something in the kitchen. That's unclean. So now we have a cycle of contagion. Something touches something, which touches something, which touches something. And he'll even do more here in a bit. Now, what do you have to do with it? Well, if it's any of these substances, you know, sackcloth or hide or whatever, you put it in water. Why? Dilution. In Leviticus, he'll let you know that if you've got a dead animal in a pot here in a minute, you have to break the pot. But if it's in a well, you fish the dead animal out, you can still use the well. Dilution. If you don't know how much dilution works, think of, you can open up a bottle of perfume, and after a while it's gone, because it evaporates, right? And you walk in, you can smell it, if you have the sensory for it. We can do the math if you've got 15 minutes. It is impossible, theoretically impossible, for you to take a deep breath and not have one molecule in your lungs that at one time was also in the lungs of Jesus Christ. It is theoretically impossible for you to come in from working in the garden or whatever and take a shower or a bath and not wash off at least one molecule that was also on the body of Cleopatra in her life. That's how much things scatter. They really do scatter, which is amazing. You know, think of when Mount St. Helens went off. I wasn't anywhere near here, but I bet you had darker days and some ash and the like. That's the way this worked. Or the big, I can't even pronounce it, the big volcano in Iceland a couple years ago shut down European travel all the way down to Italy. Well, that's extreme. But understand that that's the way the world is. It's always doing this, sloughing off and readjusting itself. Well, let's say you're a racist because you're stupid. I'm sorry, but there's one race. It's called human. If you go into a room with a person of another race and you spend more than a couple minutes there, when you walk out, some of the cells in your body used to be working in their body. Cells migrate. So you're not pure race anymore. Sorry. None of you were. But anyway, we're all sons of Noah and his wife who is yet to be named. Isn't that interesting? She didn't want her name in a story. Right, we're going in a box with a bunch of animals and shifting about on the water for a while. Just leave me out of it. You go ahead and tell the story. I have no... And your interior decoration is tar on the walls. All right, fair enough. But I do not want to be in the story. And none of the sons' wives did either. It's always interesting. Anyway, the point is, I have a lot of time. I only work Sundays. So I have a lot of time in between. Still takes 10 men to carry my money. Don't know where they're putting it. Do you notice in that list of things that it is, that he's left out something? Metal. Why? Because you can just wash off metal. You don't have to put it in water till evening. It's not porous. Porosity is something they had not discovered and would not for thousands of years. We know it. If you ever had to, we'll go back to Tupperware, ever put tomato sauce in it by mistake? And now it's stained forever because it's making a break for it. The acids in it are working its way out. God knew what was porous and what was not. How did Moses know unless somebody told him that had information which was not on the planet? I'm sorry, you cannot get... This has to be off-site information. Oh, but we go further. This next bit. If one of them falls in... Verse 33. If one of them falls into a clay pot, everything in it will be unclean, and you must break the pot. Okay. Here's where there would have been groans in the crowd. You can't go get another pot. The Scarborough Fair, you know that song? It's an old English song. He's asking if this woman is the one to marry, and her big redeeming quality is she can make a shirt. There's never a mention of her beauty in it. None. It's what can she bring in here? Can she make me something to wear? Do not get mad at me. I'm just speaking of history. I didn't invent it. You could get a really good wife for 3 pots. And now, just because a mouse detoured through the kitchen, you have to break one, and she's just like the 2-pot hussy that's down the street. And God never explains why? And you can't just go get one. You might never be able to get another one. It's amazing. Why did you have to break the pot? Because they had not learned how to seal pots. Every year in America, there are a certain number of emergency room admissions that have some or all of these. Massive headache, gastric distress, mood swings, sometimes hair falling out or changing color. If you've got an emergency room doctor, not somebody who's just doing a rotation there, because nobody knows everything, right? But if you've got an emergency room doctor, they will probably ask you, have you been out of the country? Have you been to Central or South America? Did you buy pottery? Are you using it? You're getting sewage and high metal toxicity. And by the way, we don't have a way to fix high metal toxicity. We don't have a metal be gone pill. The damage is done. We just try to stop, but we can't make it go away. And it's awful. It is horrid. Again, I'm not an emergency room doctor, but I like to ask questions and hang out with people, so I find this stuff out. And they said, it's pretty, put it on the shelf. Do not drink out of it unless you know where it came from, how it was made, how it was sealed. Okay. In the Old Testament, it said break the pot so it's never used again. You think, but he just ran through. That's enough. He ran through, hit a spoon that went into a pot full of water, and that pot, do you see now how it keeps spreading out? This contagion, and that's the way contagion goes. Oh, but he goes even another step. Any food that you're allowed to eat that's come into contact with water from such a pot is unclean, and any liquid that's drunk from such a pot is unclean. Anything one of their carcasses falls on becomes unclean. An oven or a cooking pot must be broken up. They're unclean. You're to regard them as unclean. However, it's a spring or a cistern. Again, a lot of water. That's a different thing. Dilution. Verse 37. If a carcass falls on any seeds that are to be planted, they remain clean. But if water has been put on the seed and a carcass falls on it, it's unclean for you. Now, did you catch all this? The oven having to be broken up is because it's made out of bricks. It's made out of stuff that is porous. What about here comes a mouse coming through with a little congestive heart failure and does a little scene and then falls on your seed. You can still use your seed. But if the mouse runs through, hits a spoon, and the spoon drops into the pot full of water and the water splashes out on the seed, you can't use the seed. Well, if you're a farmer, you know why. Seeds are sealed until they get wet. They're safe until they get wet. Once they're wet, it's inside. Now the poison is systemic. Now, when you buy your fruits and veggies, you probably go home and scrub them, as you should. Because we don't know who's handled them. We don't know what's been put on them to make them look pretty under the lights of the shop. However, that doesn't protect you from what's inside. If there's systemic issue. Most of the time, in our country, that's not a problem. But when we lived in Colorado before moving here, my wife's from Colorado, about 5 years ago now, people started dying in Colorado Springs, in that area. They finally traced it back to melons. Honeydew, musk melons, cantaloupes. The water being used to irrigate had gotten sewage in it. And although you couldn't taste it, and everything looked fine, it's in it. If they'd read Leviticus, it wouldn't have happened. In fact, Leviticus goes to great length. Let me just leap forward here. There would have been no bubonic plague, Black Death in the Middle Ages had we followed Leviticus. None. You know why? Because when people were dead, they picked them up, went out and buried them, and came back in and ate. And mice carried the disease, but they didn't get rid of all the mice. And they didn't consider where the mice were dirty because they didn't understand germs. Please remember that Joseph Lister, when he first suggested to doctors that they might want to wash their hands between patients, was delisted. He lost his medical license and died in poverty. If you don't know why they wore white, it's because it's the same as butcher's aprons. They would saw off an arm, do this with their hands, deliver a baby, do this, check you, do this, you know, for sore throat or whatever, do this. And by the end of the day, it looked like a butcher's apron. You'd wash it and put on another white one for the next day. But they didn't wash their hands. By the way, he did not invent Listerine. Somebody, I heard. They named it after him, but he didn't invent it. He suggested that there might be something that we're taking from patient to patient. And that was considered crazy. The first one to really prove it was not, as people think, Louis Pasteur. Although he did amazing work. It was really a guy named Joseph Snow, who, when people in London were dying, but only in a couple of neighborhoods, he did the first study of the transmission of disease in groups, epidemiology, and found that the well, the hand pump they were using to get their water in that area, was delivering to them cholera and dysentery. The first time the study had been done. And he figured it out, and most people didn't believe him. But, thank God, enough people in city planning did, and they were able to bring clean water into the area, and it was done. Louis Pasteur, his main thing was to show that the bugs didn't arise spontaneously, but that bugs were really small animals that had sex and made little ones. Because before then, spontaneous generation was the idea. In other words, you put up a big pile of manure, and after a while, manure creates bugs. We don't know it doesn't. It attracts them, and there are bugs in the manure, but they thought it created them. So once again, the Bible is miles ahead, thousands of years ahead. How did Moses know any of this? Cycle of contagion. What article is porous and what is not? It just goes on and on. It rattles the brain after a while. Chapter 12. We've got 10 minutes. Well, no, 5 minutes. I was asked to, when I was still living in South Carolina, I think it was, I got a phone call from University of Michigan. And they said, a guy I knew, he said, are you free on these particular dates next year? And I went, yeah, I am. And he said, great, we wouldn't need to book you for these 3 days. And I said, okay, thanks, I'll do it. Then he hung up, and I thought, well, I didn't get my subject. I don't know if I'm at the medical school or if I'm at the psychology school or undergrad or grad or what I'm doing yet. Well, he called back a couple of days later, and he said, I'm here to give you your topic. And I said, great, what is it? And he said, Christianity and women in history. And I said, whoa, you called the wrong guy. You need the history guy or the theology guy. And he said, no, we've been arguing about this for a month or two, and you're the only name they would agree to let come. I said, who's they? And it was the gay and lesbian group on campus that wanted a Christian to go at for 3 days, and my friend thought of me. So I walked in and looked at them, and I don't hate anybody, and so I don't mind talking to anybody. I walked in, and oh, the frowny faces that were coming my direction. And I looked at them and I said, what? I said, take your best shot. And that's what we did for 3 days. Had a great time. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And one of the first ladies stood up, and she said, you know, Christians are against sex. And I said, no, we're not. She goes, yes, you are. And I said, no, we're not. We did that for a while because I'm paid by the hour. I got time. Finally, I told her about this book, Song of Solomon. And that really blew their little minds. By the way, I told that story once at a church, rather at a Christian college lectureship. And afterwards, a bunch of preachers came up to me, very upset. They said, the Book of Song of Solomon is not about sex. It's an allegory of Christ's love for the church. And I nearly tore a muscle laughing. I said, wait, in an allegory, everything being allegorized is a strict corollary. So when he's drinking out of her belly button, is that like elder selection? Or how do I... Come to think of it, I've not been invited back. But the point... the point is still valid. Well, another one stood up and said, when a woman gave birth to a boy, he was brought back into the community within weeks. But whenever she gave birth to a girl, she was unclean for much longer. I said, now we need to do some discussion about what the word unclean means. Does it mean bad? Remember all the animals that God's declaring unclean, he also said were good. Unclean merely means separate. And in all of these, it was for a particular amount of time. Let's go talk a little bit about the woman's cycle. And a few of them went, yeah, because that's in there too. And I went, yeah, think of this. Every woman within a very wide age span here gets between 2 days and 7 days a month with the girls. No cooking, no cleaning, no care for husbands, no child care. I said, stop me when this begins to hurt. Women know this. Guys, you may not know this. We still don't know why. And don't come up to me and tell me later that you do, because you don't. When you get a group of women in an area, they synchronize. So it's not like there's one woman on a rock out there going, arr, arr. You know, no. You've got the whole community of women out there talking and doing whatever women do that we're not allowed to know about. But it happens in bathrooms, I'm told. Because they go in groups. You'll never see people saying, I got to go to the bathroom. You want to come too, Bob? No. That's where they have their meetings, I'm pretty sure. Again, God was protecting the women. Let's just go through this. After childbirth, a woman was protected from being in the community. The immunity of herself and her baby would be compromised to be brought back in. Even in this country, death after childbirth or during childbirth or infection afterwards was a leading cause of death, even up to 80 years ago. Sepsis and the like, not among the Jews. Why? They weren't shaking hands and being around a bunch of people. By the way, when somebody finally does bring their new wee baby in, don't everybody hold it. A lot of women, very kind and graciously, they want the senior minister to kind of hold the baby and pray over it. And I'll say, no, you hold the baby, and I'll pray over the baby, and I'll put my hand on you. And I'll say, because I don't know, I've shaken hands, and I don't know where they've been. That's, doesn't help, by the way, doesn't always help for me to know what I know. Like public restrooms and blow dryers. That's some of the dirtiest things you can have, is to put your hands under a blow dryer. On average, over 100,000 viruses are being blown onto your hands. Have people say, well, no, it's hot. If it was hot enough to kill the viruses, it would melt your flesh. Where's it getting the air? From the closed area with the viral mist every time there's a flush. So, and to get out of there, they make you grab a handle. That's why every hospital that I know of has paper towels and a trash can right outside. You ever been, I'll wash sometimes, I'm not going to use that. I'm trapped now. I'll just wait. Somebody's coming in. And if I'm on a time constraint, I'll touch it with a pinky, get out, and then I'll just hug the next three people I meet. You're doing all right. Good to see you. Always be suspicious of a British person's hug. I'm famous for at our church telling visitors that if, you know, during announcements, that if you've not been hugged and loved on, you let me know and I will assign somebody who will hug you. Point being, when there's a, I'm going to be very delicate here, especially with the next group. When there's a pathway out, there's a pathway in. When that pathway is under stress and wet, it is a super highway for bacteria. God got them out of danger. And they survived. Unclean didn't mean bad. It meant get them away from the group for their protection. And it worked. Well, then why were the boys brought back into the community sooner? I want you to throw red flags in the air right now, because I have no science to back up what I'm saying. I think God likes women. If you look at Jesus in the book, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's always protecting women, standing up for women. And at that time, boys knew where they fit in society. You were the first son, second son. You knew where you fit. Women didn't. I think he gave the little girls more time with their mommies. Bonding time before being brought back in, just as an act of grace. By the way, circumcision done on the eighth day? Yeah. You're unlikely to bleed to death on the eighth day. You have a high clotting factor. Plus or minus 2 or 3 days in there. People are people. We vary. But, by the way, it's not vitamin K. I've had people say, you know, vitamin... There is no vitamin K. So it's not that. But there's a clotting factor. We used to think it was, but it wasn't. It's kind of like bursa cells, B cells, very involved in the immune system, except we don't have a bursa. Chickens do. That's where we found them. And then we found them in humans, and we thought, oh, there's no bursa. We're just keeping the name. And also another thing about the circumcision, less likely to bleed to death. They're still outside the community. Therefore, they're not going to get infection. And at that age, pain is really diffused in the brain. I mean, even up to, if you've got a 2-year-old that comes up to you and says, my stomach hurts, look in their throat. Because they can't tell the difference between a sore throat and a stomach ache. It hasn't come together now. I'm 59 now. I know where every ache is. I am highly differentiated, but not a 2-year-old. That's why they can't tell you sometimes what's wrong. They don't know. You keep going in here, if you dare, and I got to quit. There are rules about mildew that we did not understand until 30 years ago. And they did. About how it regenerates once you think you've cleaned it. Because spores cannot be seen. And you think that you're clean. Or about when you're supposed to throw things away and when you're not supposed to. And they'll talk about draw a line around it, show it to the priest, and after a certain amount of washings, then you bring it back, and if it has grown beyond, you have to throw it out. Houses, too, had to be torn apart. When did we start looking for mold in houses and having mold remediation? That's been the last few decades. They had it 3,000 years ago. And that's just the hem of the garment. We have a lot more to talk about the other two times I'm here this summer, if God wills. But I hope that that's been interesting to you. And you don't have to be a scientist to show this to people. And just ask them, how'd Moses know? Do we have time if you have any questions, or are the kids coming in? Well, you are. Oh, by the way, mites are everywhere. All right, the book of Leviticus will not let you have your toothbrush in your bathroom. Get it out of there or put it in a drawer. If it's up there and you're saying it needs to air out, no, it doesn't. And it's getting a viral mist every time you flush and every time you wash. Get it out. Go get a new brush tonight. You also might want a new mites. We were talking about one cats. Where most people get most of their mites is actually in the house when they sit down in a chair or when they go to bed. About 2 billion mites on average live in a mattress. If you're wondering, what do they live on? They live on you, the dead skin. That's like taco chips to them. You can put your ear on the mattress, you can almost hear, anyway, there they are. If you have a pillow that's more than 6 months old, it weighs 30 to 40% more now than when you bought it. The extra weight is hair, oil, dead skin, and the mites that are eating it. So, on the way home, enjoy getting a new pillow, new mattress cover, new mattress, a new toothbrush, and some antibacterial ointment just to slather and roll in before you go in. And thanks for letting me come and be a part of the Wednesdays. I look forward to seeing you again in a couple of weeks. Right? Cheers. Thank you.